Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
Okay, you can think that, and you can put it whatever category you want. It doesn't change the facts, Commissioner, and it also doesn't change the fact that there are four more positives today, and they're going to have a difficult time filling out their roster. Here to talk about how baseball is dealing with all that is Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. The lead baseball columnist can be found on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. He's also on the Alpamonte Ford hotline right now, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Craig.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You know, your morning updates are, they bring back some, it's a touchstone of baseball normalcy. I don't know if it is for you to put them together, but just sort of the going over, you know, as I, when I wake up and I look at my phone and it looks like the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey, in my head I hear thus sprock the Zarathustra, and I think, what fresh hell is this? And I doom scroll and I want to cry, and every this, it's just these recaps of actual baseball are a beacon of normalcy.
Well, that's why I kind of do them. I mean, obviously, before the pandemic thing, I've been doing them for 13 years, and it's no matter what else is going on in your life, wake up in the morning, recap the night's games the night before. Let's just reset your day. And I'm finding right now it's more important to my sense of mental health than usual. I just hope we still have games to recap going forward.
And we're getting the reaction from Cubs fans from, in large part, saying it felt good to scream at the TV watching Craig Kimbrell be that bad, that even though it was hard to live through in the moment, there is a sense that, oh, yeah, I remember what that feels like to be mad at sports.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I was in real time on Twitter last night. I stayed up way too late. I'm watching people watch this game, which is a very odd thing to say, but social media addicts will understand that. And all the Cubs fans I'm following are just screaming and bitching about Kimbrel. And I'm like, this is just like last fall. It's fantastic.
Why did Don Mattingly completely abdicate leadership responsibility when it came to just letting his team decide whether or not to play by text chat or group chat, and then not pushing some sort of a alarm button for people above him, either in his organization or in MLB? I don't know how that could have been allowed to happen the way it happened.
Because that's the design. My first impulse was to say, what are you thinking, Don Mattingly? Why are you letting your team play? Or what are you thinking, Miguel Rojas, the shortstop of the Marlins, who was credited as the team leader who made the decision on the group text that they should play? What are you guys thinking? But I take two steps back, and I think everything that's happened in this pandemic follows this pattern, right? we had complete lack of leadership at the federal level, and that has caused people down at the lower levels to try to make decisions, some of which have been good, some of which have been bad, and that inspires people to do dumb things like go to a party with 200 people or show up at a crowded bar. And your first impulse is to say, why are you idiots at the bar? But then you look up the line and you realize there's been zero leadership at all, and you kind of find it understandable. So with Major League Baseball, they put together a 113-page, they famously crow about this, 113-page, you know, manual about how they're going to deal with health. But nowhere in there was a protocol for if we have X number of positives, a game shouldn't be played, or if certain players aren't available, a game shouldn't be played. They completely punted that. They abdicated it. Rob Manfred and the Players Association just decided to wing it. And so when you wing it from the leadership position, everything that goes on down the stream is going to be faulty.
Does it matter that this is the Marlins in the sense of, well, it's just the Marlins?
You know what? It's funny. That's my thinking right now is if this was the Yankees or the Cubs or the Dodgers and half the team was gone because of COVID stuff, I really wonder if we'd be having a different conversation, if we'd still be playing, you know, 13 games tonight or whatever they're going to be playing. And I go back to, there was no rule about this. There was no guidance about this, as I said a moment ago. But in an interview in early July, Rob Manfred said, quote, if we have a team or two that's really decimated with a number of people who's had the virus and can't play for any significant period of time, it could have a real impact on the competition, and we'd have to think very, very hard about what we're doing. He said that in an interview with Dan Patrick. We now have one team that is in that situation. They have been more than decimated. Decimated implies 10%. They have had a full half of their roster completely obliterated. You could take the approach that, say, Major League Soccer has taken and say, okay, Marlins, you now as a team are just sitting out. That's a plausible approach. I don't know that they'll do it, but Manfred's own words and everything that everyone around baseball has said about what competitive integrity means would be kind of thrown into question if you take the Marlins out of it, because then everybody in the East is playing a different schedule. Do you really have a season, even if we were already questioning whether a 60-game season matters? So there are some big, big questions that need to be answered right now. I don't think Rob Manfred has any answers for them.
I'm interested to see how baseball front offices are behaving in general in this 60-game season. We had Theo Epstein on last week, and he fully admitted that their organization is going against what they've preached for years when it comes to what is meaningful in evaluation and how they make decisions, sample sizes, and all of that. He said because they can't do it the way they have done it in the past. They just don't have the same information at their disposal. The Atlanta Braves DFA'd Mike Foltynewicz, who had been a standard in their rotation, and they just DFA'd him. That's where I am on the Kimbrel issue here, where I don't think you can do this. Regardless of what you paid him, regardless of what you thought at the time and where you were then, that the reality of now is such that You can't have him sort of try to keep knocking the rust off here when he was bad last year. He was bad in spring training. He was bad in summer camp. And he's bad now.
Yeah, that's the thing. That calculus has to completely change. Even if you go purely on the lower number of games, every game is now worth 2.7 games proportionately from a regular season. So imagine that Kimbrel has now blown, or no, he didn't blow it last night. He almost did. You know, imagine Kimbrel has blown 3 games in a row. You know, we'd be having a different conversation about now what you do with the closer position. As for Foltynewicz and the Braves, I think there might be a little bit more going on there than just one really bad start. He was questionable as far as his velocity in spring, and then once summer camp came back, he had a good second half last year, but a very bad first half. And then this is another thing, and I just know this because I follow the Braves closely, and I'm pretty involved in, you know, the chatter about the Braves. He showed up to summer camp having lost a lot of weight, and people are saying that he doesn't seem healthy in ways that are beyond just his arm isn't good. I don't know what that means, and I'm not going to speculate, but if you even look at pictures from last night's start versus how he looked last fall against the Cardinals in the National League Division Series, he does look like he's lost weight, like he doesn't look well. There might be more going on there. I hope not, but there's a chance that there's more going on with him than a lot of people think.
How have you taken to the way baseball's being presented with the crowd noise, with no fans, with and getting over some of the weirdness and just understanding that this is how it's going to look?
I got used to it faster than I thought I would. I had baseball on all day on Friday when every team started, not just the Thursday night opening night. And I was watching some on TV. And, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to on the visuals of it, I think. The empty park was kind of weird. But then in the evening when I started to, like, make dinner and I had to do stuff around the house, I put on the radio broadcast of the game. I was listening to the Braves game against the Mets. And the crowd noise in the radio version actually sounds completely natural and wonderful. I mean, I think you paint a picture with your brain listening to a game on the radio more than you do when you watch TV. And it almost felt perfectly normal. So you get used to it pretty quickly. If we can keep everybody healthy, I think we could all get on board with how baseball is going. It seems fine visually, and the players, for the most part, seem okay.
How are you criticizing managerial decisions in this compressed season? White Sox fans went crazy over the weekend when there was the traditional Yasmani Grandal regular catcher day off for day game after a night game, and criticism of every little lineup move. You know, Joe Maddon used to refer to these people as lineupistas because, you know, over the 162, the lineup really metrically only can mean the difference between one win. I don't know if it means more now, if it means less now, and how we should look at some of these decisions with every game counting for as a usual 2.7 games.
Well, I think we have to be very careful not to get too far into this is all so much more urgent now because of fewer games. Yes, that matters as far as math goes, but the math only goes so far. Yasmani Grandal's knees don't care that we're only playing 60 games this year. The day after a night game, it hurts a catcher. And when you put as much money into a guy that the White Sox did into Grandal, you still need to be careful with him. Same thing with other managerial decisions. I was talking to somebody recently about how the impulse for a lot of teams, especially teams with very forward-thinking front offices and managers who are really up on all kinds of analytics and make all those kind of decisions in conjunction with their baseball operations staff, you know, there's going to be this impulse to want to just manage the living hell out of every game, to yank pitchers quicker than we normally would, to do all kinds of strategic things that might only exist in the postseason. But I think that might not be the best thing necessarily in all cases, because you're going to put this weird sense of urgency on your players that I don't know is sustainable even only in a 2-month season. I think of teams like the Indians with Terry Francona or the Astros with Dusty Baker, some older school managers who, however up they are on the analytics, are really well known for keeping a loose clubhouse, for keeping their players' brains in the game just as much as making the right moves and pulling the right levers. I think that's going to matter. There is so much stress right now, especially with the changes in routine, with illness, with the weird schedule. Anything a manager can do to calm his team down might give them an unexpected advantage.
It's going to be so hard to do. The stress, the overall stress of baseball life, of easygoing baseball life, it's just not there now. You don't have the clubhouse time. You don't have guys hanging out together, and you just have this heightened awareness and sort of a simmering fear that subsumes everything that's going on right now. You're a mentally healthy team. I mean, that is really something to strive for. We talked about it with Ian Happ on the Cubs. The Cubs do seem to have some awareness that there is a competitive advantage to mental health this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think David Ross might be a great guy for that, too. He's not very far removed from being a player. That's still very much on the front of his mind, I'm sure, about how do I keep these guys loose? How do we keep everybody comfortable? And, you know, I don't know how you do it, and I certainly don't know how you do it if, yeah, I'm not going to knock him or something, but if you're, I don't know, like Bob Melvin, or if you're, you know, a guy who's been in the business for a very long time, but you're more of a analytical kind of guy, I'm not sure how you necessarily do that. You have to do it quickly, though.
I noticed you're fighting this battle as so many of us are, and that is hearing in response to as we try to deal with the news of the moment, not even news of the day, but the news of the micro cycle that we deal with, and facts regarding COVID outbreaks and positive tests and likelihoods, etc., that we face a response of, you're rooting for the virus because you don't want sports, or you hate sports, or you want sports to go away. And the illogic fundamental to that argument, I genuinely don't understand how somebody can't have the bandwidth to know that while our livelihoods are connected to sports, we adore sports, that's why we do what we do, that we also have a responsibility to deal with what's true and talk about what's true.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous to me. I mean, I've been very critical of how Rob Manfred has handled a lot of the decisions bringing baseball back. I'm going to continue to be critical because I'm always critical of the institutions I care about. You have to be. I mean, I honestly, nothing against people there, but, you know, I don't really think too much about Uzbekistan, right? I don't talk about how I can make Uzbekistan a better country. I don't live there. It doesn't matter to me very much. I care about America. I care about baseball. I care about these things. You know, the opposite of love is indifference, not hate. If you are just letting something happen, even if you don't like the way it is going down, how much do you really care about that institution? I want Major League Baseball to be better. I want them to handle this smart because I want there to be a season. I want there to be a postseason. I want to watch the World Series. And if they make dumb decisions and no one is pushing back on those dumb decisions, that decreases the likelihood of that happening.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. With this latest news, it does appear that baseball is determined no matter what to press on. And I keep getting the sense that once started, I don't know how extreme anything is going to have to be. I don't know how long we're going to keep testing the Phillies, because I'm just not sure about some of the timing here, about who was where and when we should start expecting to see positive tests. If, in fact, the Phillies, if anybody was infected through actual gameplay or through the argued negligence of Don Mattingly and the Marlins, of how bad it would have to get for baseball to say we're putting this on pause or this isn't working. I don't know.
I don't know that anybody really knows. I mean, it's going to be like it was in March, right? The decision was just made on this inflection point where in the space of, you know, 3 hours, you know, the Gobert from the Jazz and Tom Hanks all got, you know, COVID at once. And everybody was like, okay, wait, a lot's happening now. Too much to process. Let's put the brakes on the world. You know, with baseball, I really do think that what we talked about, you know, the Marlins, it's the Marlins, we can deal with the Marlins. And, you know, the next inflection point is going to probably be something major. You're going to have another team altogether that we hadn't expected have a huge outbreak, or heaven forbid, somebody who has just tested positive, and we've come to accept testing positive as, oh, they're fine, they're just going to hang out until they test negative again. You know, maybe someone's going to get sick. You don't want that to happen, but I think it'll take something like that for them to put the brakes on this. At the moment, I think there's so much uncertainty about how long an incubation period is, how reliable tests are. There's so much misinformation and lack of understanding out there, understandable lack of understanding, that it's easy to just say, well, we'll press on because there's nothing, you know, completely overarching and authoritative telling us that we should stop. So it will probably take a crisis.
You've been talking about the leadership and what's happened, and I've been following your thoughts about Mike DeWine very, very closely, because 2 weeks from now we're dropping our daughter off as a freshman at Denison, and so I've been looking carefully at county by county and sort of what's going on there and how they're handling it. But he had it. Ohio was going great, and then it was like, oh, wait a second, I think I'm going to stop doing this right now. And it was making me absolutely crazy watching that happen, because I thought he did a great job until he just decided not to.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ohio politics going on in that makes it weird. We're nowhere near as bad off as, say, Florida and Texas. We're nowhere near as good off as some other places. I could tell you, though, I happen to personally live right up the road from Denison. Like, I could ride my bike there if I wanted to. That part of the state is doing all right. You're okay in Licking County, Ohio.
And I will tell you this. The job that the president of that university, Adam Weinberg, what they have done, it has been amazing in their the adherence to science, the communication with families and students. That is one impressive dude, and how they're obviously they've got a lot of resources there, and I can look for my first bill and I can see why they've got a lot of resources there. But
they also have a really good sports radio program. Their college radio station is I do appearances on it, and it's called The Doobie. Actually, I'm sure they came up with it in the 70s or something, but it's a pretty good outfit, dude.
Well, my daughter wouldn't know a football from a hockey stick, so I think that would be the absolute furthest thing from her mind, but maybe when my son's turn comes around, he'll take a look at it. Best of health to you, Craig, and keep supplying those recaps, because it makes us all feel a little bit better.
Thanks a lot.
That is Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.